I suppose it is an appropriate time of the year to be speaking of this particular topic. November, traditionally, within the Christian tradition, is the time when we tend to remember the people who have died and gone before us. My particular group, the Bethany Bereavement Support Group, attached to the parish of the Star of the Sea Church in Sandymount in Dublin, a small group of people, about four of us in our group, and our job is to offer bereavement support services. Mainly, we're a listening group. We always make the point we're not bereavement counsellors, we're trained listeners, because very often a bereaved person, a person going through the difficult and painful time of suffering their own grief, one of the most useful things they can do is to talk to somebody else, talk to somebody different. People are often surprised at how long and how intense the pain of their grieving can be. There's no hard and fast rule as to how long grieving lasts, and it can certainly last longer than weeks, months, or even years.
So you're saying, Rodney, perhaps you're not just listening to people who have been recently bereaved, but perhaps a bereavement going back over a long time?
Oh yes, definitely. In fact, it's usually quite a few months or even a year or so after the actual death, the loss of the loved one, has taken place, when a person begins to realise that they're a long way from better, shall we say, a long way from finished with their grieving. Initially, there's usually great support from family and friends and people to talk to. But inevitably, life goes on for other people. All their worries and sorrows and troubles and joys and happinesses begin to come back in. And the person who is grieving, who has lost their loved one, is still feeling the pain very often. And maybe it's at that stage then, 6 months, 8 months, a year, maybe 2 years later, when it can be so helpful to talk to somebody in a confidential, safe atmosphere about their worries, their troubles, their pain and their grief, to express those feelings and to confront them. And this is the sort of service that we can offer.
Let's say I'm in a town or in the city or in the country, and I'm at the moment trying to listen to somebody who's recently been bereaved and who is finding it very difficult, and perhaps the service isn't available. So as a person who's listening, what advice would you give to the listener?
Yeah, and I mean, anybody can, any normal, intelligent person can act as a helpful pair of ears to somebody who needs someone to talk to. The first thing, of course, is to try and get over one's own discomfort or embarrassment at dealing with a bereaved person. Quite often this is quite a difficult social situation. People are always worried that they'll say the wrong thing to the bereaved person. They don't know what the right thing to say is. And really that doesn't matter, because it's a question of trying to get to encourage the person who is suffering and grieving, to encourage them to talk. And more often than not, they're only too delighted to find somebody to give them a quiet and sympathetic ear. And most of us are probably very tempted to jump in with our own tuppence worth of advice and to give examples of how we've been through all this ourselves or something. That's rarely wanted. Similarly, platitudes about how things will get better and so on, this is rarely helpful either. Quiet silence, a passive receptance of just being able to listen to this person, possibly even to cope with their tears, because it can help. It can help considerably if a person is able to cry and to let it out. So being a receptive listener is probably the most useful thing that any good person can do.
Rodney, you're a man speaking about this, and very often it's men who are much more blocked about the process of bereavement than women. Women are inclined to chatter, not all the time, but have you come across this in people you speak to?
Yeah, very much so. And you're so right there, Peter. I mean, men try to put on the brave face. It's a cultural thing. It's a macho thing. Boys don't cry. And this is a pity, because more often than not, men do themselves no favours by being tough, by trying to conceal and hide their sadness and their loneliness. And I probably most of us chaps would admit that even going down for a pint in the pub, we rarely open out our hearts totally to our pals or to our brothers or our other male chums. Again, this is where the possibility of having a quiet session with a trained listener allows a man the liberty to say and do things and to give vent to emotions that he might have kept under wraps most of the time.
So does the person at the moment, let's say, who's listening, who has just had a recent bereavement, or either a bereavement that's happened quite a few years and it's all coming back, what advice would you give them?
Well, one of the most important things is to reassure somebody that although grieving is a difficult and a tough time, and all sorts of signs and symptoms can show up, physical, emotional, spiritual, the first thing to remember is that you're not unique, you're not going mad, you're not different from anybody else. But if those feelings are so intense, do try and get to talk to somebody. It could be your own parish priest. It could be somebody in a bereavement support group. It could be a loyal and true friend, somebody with the facility to have the time and the ability to just listen to you. But do try and talk to somebody. Don't repress those feelings. Get to somebody and express them. Let it out.